What up?
What up, dude? Is this gonna work?
I think so.
Oh, you're upside down.
You're upside down. I'm fucking right side up, bro. I'm command central right here.
You are.
Shout out.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're here with a plus skateboard shirt on. And I gotta tell ya, we're still waiting on Brian because he is just opening up his laptop for the first time in I think 10 years. And he's gonna check to make sure that it has a camera on it and see if he can connect to the internet. This is all new territory. And so without further ado, we're gonna go Blood Wizard, tick, tick, tickety-tack, tick, tick, tickety-tack. And then we'll be back with the one and only Dayla.
Blood Wizard.
Shop.bloodwizard.com.
Tickety-tack.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
Can you go inside for me? I'm doing this meeting. Do you want to say it?
Oh, yeah.
You want to come in here and say it? Can you say, hi, I'm Brian Della Torre, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
I'm Talking Schmidt.
Come here. Can you say, hi, I'm Brian Della Torre?
I'm Brian Della Torre.
And you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
I'm Talking Schmidt.
Bro, just wait.
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Our big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
We on? Schmitty?
Talking Schmidt.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
And skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
Holy shit.
What are Yuns doing?
Okay, yeah.
I'm in your house, dude.
You're going to come out different.
Oh, no, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith.
Yay! Gregory!
Yeah, man, chicken bone. Chicken bone, now it's home.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
It's 7:43, so shout out to Bryce Knight, Orb, and all you 43ers. Here's looking at you.
Shout out.
Did you see Antoine Dixon this week? Woo, that out there to follow up that part. Early contender for Sody. Am I right? Taylor's texting me. He says, I have no idea why I still have a Yahoo account. Okay, we are locked in. What's up, guys? This is Schmitty, and I got a great one planned. We kind of went back and forth, had a rain delay, but today we're all set. Live from Miami, the one and only Brian De La Torre.
Yes.
How you doing, Brian?
Good, dude. Good. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. I got a quick question out of the gates because I know you grew up in Miami, right?
Yup.
So here's my question. It seems like a lot of Floridians have come out west, like San Francisco has had a big gathering. And I'm wondering what is that? Like what brought like you and I mean, so many, right? Like out west and kind of called it home for a while.
Yeah, no, there's most of them are still out there. I think maybe opportunity, weather. It's a plethora of things, hills, or at least to San Francisco. But yeah, just a change of scenery, change of weather. Yeah, and really just as a skateboarder, you know, getting out of like your hometown is kind of like the thing to do, or was the thing to do at least back then. So I think in the early aughts, it was like once I had that opportunity to do that, I just was like, all right, we have this little art studio with our friend. Lucian, who just let us kind of crash, you know, in his space. And that was like the beginning of that. And I think that brought in a lot of Floridians.
So Lucian was out here and you already knew him and that kind of attracted you out here?
Yeah, like I knew him through like Craig and Satori days and all of that. And Lucian wanted to come out to Miami and we basically swapped places.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And I took over his flat for a while and, you know, I feel like we all just, like Ben and a bunch of Floridians were like, dude, let's just, and we all wrote for Satori. It made sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up just like moving into that space on 17th and Bryant.
Okay.
So yeah, like obviously there's more Floridians other than us, but I coming from like what I know, as far as the Floridians I know, like I feel like we all kind of just most of us like landed there in one aspect or another. Like Nick Matlin lived there for a bit.
Yeah.
Brian Downey, a bunch of Tampa heads, Jan, yeah, good amount of Floridians landed there. And then obviously, like, you know, went their own way.
Right. Moving back a little bit, who were some of the people when you're growing up, like when you first got into skateboarding and realized about the mag and videos and all that stuff, who are you hyped on? Like, whose video part are you watching on repeat, or like whose photo do you have on your wall?
Oh, there was a lot of like Jake Rupp was a big one.
Yeah.
And I always liked the people. I was fortunate enough to grow up out here in Miami, and there were like pros living here, like Ed Salego and Forrest Kirby, Danny Renaud, so Lindsey Robertson. So like those dudes, I really looked up to those dudes because I got to see them in person at the skate park.
Mm.
So that was like a huge, like, whoa, okay, this is, you know, this is the blueprint right here. Like these are the dudes. And this is what skating is.
Yeah. So that kind of influenced like your approach?
Pretty much. Yeah. Just kind of being around them and, yeah, skating with them really influenced me a lot. But obviously, like watching, you know, Photosynthesis and Habitat videos and old Eastern Exposure videos, you know, Old Girl videos, like FTC videos, like Penal Code, and, just like 90s stuff. Like, really, I dug deep into that. And then, you know, people I was hanging out with, like Matt Canner, he introduced me to like Zero videos and Toy Machine videos. And, but yeah, there was I had a good mix.
Like right out of the gates, you're younger than I am. So I'm wondering like right out of the gates, if you're paying attention to the way things are filmed and edited and like the artistic approach behind all of it versus just documenting.
For sure. I knew that there would like a big difference between a Zero video and a Habitat video.
Right.
Like Zero was like very, you know, straight to the point. Yeah. Very, very, very straight to the point. And then, you know, it was more of like a visual experience with workshop videos. You know, it was more of an artistic approach.
And mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that about it too. And I kind of mixed both. Like, you know, I used to skate like big rails when I was young and I loved doing that. But then also I was like, oh, what's this? Like, you can skate this way too. And I feel like I kind of didn't really understand or tap into that till I got to SF.
Mm.
Like San Francisco really helped out a lot with my skating.
It forces you to skate fast, right? Like when you're skating hills, you better know how to skate a hill and
yeah.
be able to slow down and know what you're comfortable and all that.
Yeah. Thankfully I was like young enough to just like kind of brain out of head, you know, and just flow and go with it. And there wasn't really too much like fear or, you know, it was just like, this is fun. I'm bombing a hill. great. Yeah. I better learn how to like power slide, right? And you know, like, or just like take it.
I better time this light, or
I better exactly. Learn how to time the light, and you know, and it's funny how like back then we didn't even have spotters back then. We were just like pretty reckless, and you know, yeah, just naive.
What was like one of the first? Do you remember even like one of the first hills that was like, whew, I'm going to try, like, you kind of pushed yourself and you bombed a hill that was kind of like, whoa.
I would say Dolores, top of Dolores.
Ah.
That was, like, the first, like, holy yeah. shit. You know.
The Felper special.
Yeah. yeah. This was, like, right when I moved there. And actually, like, Craig Najedly, like, told me about that one. And he would bomb that one. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try to bomb the top of Dolores, and I remember that one being like, okay, I gotta check a couple times, you know, before the last, like, I think it was before the last three hills, because it's like five stacks or something like that. I forget how many stacks Dolores is.
Yeah, it's at least four. It might be five.
Yeah, but like you get going. But I remember that one. I remember that one being like, holy shit, I made it to the bottom. Like, this is fucking awesome. Let's do it again.
I know. When we were kids, we used to go up to the city because Tommy Guerrero had his part where he bombed backside ninth and kind of opened that up to, I mean, a lot of people in the city were doing it, but like, yeah. As kids from the peninsula, like, I grew up 30 minutes south, we're like, oh, and it was, I mean, to this day, it's kind of the same where it's like, if you don't have a car, you take the bus up almost like a ski lift. Like you take it to the top, you bomb down, and then you take it back up because on the way down, you're like, oh, that driveway, I missed it. I want to hit that next time. Or like you're kind of scouting your spots as you go down. And then all of a sudden next time, and you start dialing the hill like through experience. And it's unlike anything else. I love watching people come to the city for the first time that rip, but have never skated a hill, you know, and you're like, ooh, watch this.
Yeah. You can really see like, oh, okay. Like, no, it's rad. I miss route skating. We were doing that a lot. And you know, and it's free and it's easy and you can get anywhere in the city.
Yeah, we have the benefit too of the 7 square miles, so it's pretty small city actually. And
the best.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it, and I trip on this because it was built later than the East Coast, is why we don't have like a Chicago or a New York subway system. Like when I go back to those cities, I'm like, fuck, you can get anywhere with these things, like, you know, and it's just, I like that a lot about back east, and I don't know why we don't have it.
I wonder if like the infrastructure of like the city itself was
maybe earthquakes would be sketchy.
Yeah, you know, like having a train going up like a certain hill.
Right.
You know, or I don't know how that would even work, really. Like,
I'm just thinking tunnels underground that could go straight from Market all the way to the beach.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah. Instead of like Muni, Judah to, you know, to BART to downtown. Yeah. I don't know. That would be amazing. But you know what, man? Like, coming from out here, I don't even mind. I'll do it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
If we end up out there, I wouldn't mind taking the Muni or getting an electric bike or whatever, you know.
Right.
Just anything to, like, not drive, you know, often.
Yeah. No, that's the key.
That's the key, for real.
Unless like, you're leaving the city. Like, you need the car to get, like, let's go to San Jose, skate down there, or SAC, or whatever. But
Day trip. Yeah. We're going over to Marin, or we're going on a hike. We're going to, you know, Muir Woods.
Yeah.
You know, really get it in. But yeah, I really miss that about it. And I think that's why maybe Floridians, like most of everyone that I know that moved there back when I did, has stayed. You know, they would come out here and visit their family, and then like they'd be like, oh, well, I'm going back home.
Yeah.
This works for me. This works better for me there.
It's such a contrast in weather. It's really different, right? Like
if you're like into like jungle weather, like super hot and humid, like, you know, tropical climate all year round, like this mm-hmm. is it for you. This is the place for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't mind it, but like all year round is pretty brutal. I miss the seasons. I even miss December when it rains the most in the city. Mm. Like I don't mind it, you mm-hmm. know. I miss layers and a jacket. And
yeah,
I miss my jackets, dude. I miss
put
my
them
hoodies.
In storage. what was the first like box you got? Like, what was your first like free shit that you got as a kid? Mm-hmm. Like, ooh,
box. Well, first thing I got free shit as a kid was like boards from this skate shop called BC Surf and Sport here.
Mm.
And that was like the first like board, like, and it wasn't even a box. I can just go into the shop and just like, you know, kind of rode for the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was like 13 or 14. And then first like real box was like a Satori box.
Mm. Like showing up in the mail, like, holy yeah, shit, bro.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That one's big, right?
Dude, with like stickers and, you know, a ton of wheels and like shirts, like Satori shirts, like, you know, like Haile Selassie shirts, you know, those old ones, like the Satori. Have you seen him shirts with like Haile Selassie on it?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, just always been into reggae, so like that one was like, damn, this one's sick.
and are you aware, like, you're obviously aware of the team, right? Like, you're like, ooh, am I gonna be skating with these dudes? Like,
yeah.
If you hadn't yet.
Well, like, that was like kind of the dream, you know, like getting into a van with like Jake Rupp,
right?
You know, or Carl Watson,
yeah,
Matt Pales,
shout out.
I was watching like Supernaut videos and iPath videos, and that was really influential on me. So when I got in the van with those dudes, when they like, when it happened and they accepted me, I was like, well, I played it cool, but.
You got it, but it's hard.
I was like, wow, this is sick.
We always talk about that. It's like skateboarding gives you so much, but one of the really rare things I think about it is that like you grow up kind of really admiring these dudes that are doing it, and then those dudes become your friend, and yeah. Like you're sitting in a car and you're like, I'm sitting next to Fred Gall, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I'm drinking beer with Fred Gall, this is,
yeah,
I'm getting drunk with Fred Gall.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's been like a dream come true. Seriously, mm-hmm. you know, I got to hang out and travel with my idols, you know, and skate spots with them, and like, you know, talk shit with them in the van, and you know, it's. I remember thinking about this stuff, watching videos of them when I was like, you know, going right before bed, you know, like just nerding out on like skating.
Mm-hmm.
Just when, you know, when you're like young and you're like so obsessed, and that's all you think about, and that's all you watch, mm-hmm. is just VHSs, you know.
Yeah.
And like that was like, yeah, huge for me. Yeah.
What do you think? Like, it's an interesting one for me because I'm much older, and so I have like this tarnished view, and I always like to get other people's perspective. But like putting VCR tapes in all the time and watching those parts, right? Like we would watch the Plan B video from beginning to end. It was like, I'm not just watching Duffy's part. I want to see Danny Way, like Mike Carroll, like the whole thing. Nowadays, like you got Instagram, YouTube, a lot of times it's just focusing on one person, like the Brian De La Torre part. It's going up today, and tomorrow is Antoine Dixon. You know, like it's much different, but it's the same obsession that you talk about, where kids are just watching it all day and it's all they think about. I just trip on the importance of an individual thing versus just the conveyor belt of it.
Yeah, it's tricky these days. It's weird. It's just constant. I think sometimes it takes away from it. It's like good and bad. You know, it's good because it's a never-ending conveyor belt of what we love, but then it's like oversaturated too. You miss out on a lot of things. You can't sit through it. Like, I miss full lengths. You know, like that last Quasi video was great. You know, that was an awesome full length. I saw it twice. You know, and pretty much like back to back, like one day I saw it, the next day I was like, oh, I gotta rewatch that again. And like, that kind of doesn't happen too often these days, you know. I think people just watch videos and it's like on to the next.
It's so much. And I'm not complaining or anything. I'm just observing, like, you spend 2 years of your life making a video part sometimes, you know, at least a year, like, of really going for it. And then the filmer, the editing, all that thing. And then the shine is just kind of like, I mean, I think it lasts for at least a week, but like, you know, like we at Thrasher have been putting less up, trying to give it more shine, but there's just so much and so many people that rip now because skateboarding got bigger, and it's hard. Like, it's hard to figure out how do you do it? Like, how do you make this last? And when there's all this stuff coming, right?
I think people have been, especially who come out with full lengths, they'll like put parts, individual parts out online before the actual full length. And it's like kind of a tease, you know?
Yeah.
And then they'll let it wait, then they'll just let it simmer. And then they'll like put the full length out. So you can prolong its life of, like, you know, the project.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But the Spitfire video is about to drop, and I think that's going to be like pretty sick full length video. But yeah, like, certain people are still doing it, but it's few and far between, it seems like.
Yeah, it's all moving really fast. I miss, you know, how slow things were and how we had to wait and the anticipation of things. And, you know, there's still anticipation. It's just when it comes out, it's out. And then, you know, the next day is like a whole new, like, plethora of edits and projects. Again, it's good because people are doing it. There's more filmers out there. There's more people, like, you know, making videos. And I really love that. All over the world, it's great, you know. But the speed that it's coming at is, let's just slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, you got to be dedicated to that. Like, did you see that? No, dude, I'm fucking trying. I got other shit going on, bro, but I'll get to that one.
Yeah. Like, a week will go by and you're like, oh man, I missed so much.
I saw that one trick though on Insta. That looks
sick. Yeah. Exactly. And then you just see that. You see the 60-second little edit of it on Insta, and then you're just like, well, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I don't know. I just, nowadays, whenever I sink my teeth into a project, it's for me. If you want to watch it, great. If you want to give it a thumbs up, great. If you want to give it, like, flame emojis or whatever the fuck you want to do, like, like,
dude, that's flame cool. Emojis, come on, man.
Fuck. Give me three, homie. Give me three flames. Give me the hard eyes. I want the hard eyes.
I only got two flames, man? You gave the last one three.
Bro, that shit was fire. No, I kind of, like, it's great. I'm grateful, but at the same time, you want to watch it, great. If not, like, it's for me. I'm addicted to projects, to filming. You know, if someone approaches me and wants to work on something, like, I really love it. That's mm-hmm. It's kind of like, as far as like skating and doing filming and stuff, it's like what I've been doing, I feel like, the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I start one thing, I finish, and then I go right into another, basically. You get that dopamine kick, dude. You film a trick and you like want to watch it, and you're like, yeah. Wow, like,
yeah,
I can't believe I landed that, or I did that, or like, I like the way like that spot looks, or like, we found the spot, we fixed it,
and mm-hmm.
we did the trick we wanted to do on it, and then you kind of get addicted to that, you know, that feeling, and you want more.
Who's more critical on your footage, you or the filmer?
Me.
You?
Yeah.
Like, for you, sure. Do you go back and refilm shit because you don't like the way you did it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'll go back, even if it's, the flat ground trick isn't, I can do that better.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll go back and do even if that's not even the trick, like, the end of the trick, you know? Like, I'll go back and, like, all right, I got to do that better. Sure. But it's nice to have a filmer that is, it's a collaborative thing, you know, and they're like, yeah, you can, and they're honest with you. Like, that's that's the real homie filmer.
Has to be.
You know, and they're just like, yo, like, you could do that better. We should go back. No stress. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll go back. I got you.
Yeah. Because when you're filming it, you're really paying attention to how it looks. And when you're skating, you don't necessarily know how it looks. You can watch it back in the footage, but the filmer can be like, oh, or, you know.
There are times where I've, like, done stuff, and I was like, you know. And then the filmer's like, yo, just let it rock. Like, that was fine. And then time will go on, and I'll be like, oh, actually, he's right. Like, that was fine. There was, like, maybe a little jerk or a little, like, you know, my arms did something weird that I didn't like. But like, I don't know, I guess it gives it character. Or the worst thing is you don't like the way you did it, and you really just did it fine, right? And then you try to redo it again, and then you get smoked.
That's the thing.
So like there, that has happened to me, and it's like, and then I look back at the one that I did before that I was kind of bummed on. It's like, I'm a damn fool. Like,
now I can't skate for a little while and I fucking had it already. Like, what am I doing?
What the fuck? You get greedy.
Was your first part that you kind of like worked on and put it out, was that the Welcome to MIA, or was
there something? Before that was Satori parts, Seasons parts
with Trevor, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That's right. Fucking like RIP.
Yeah, man. That's the homie.
Damn. But,
yeah,
I forgot. That's deep. You go back.
I'm old, dude. I'm vintage. I'm damn near 40.
So what was the first one? What was your first video part that like first you put a whole part out?
First real video part was a shared part with Jeff Dahmer, the Satori Roots and Culture video. And that was my first like real oh my god, like people are gonna watch my skating. Like, you know, I was like 15 at the time.
Wow.
So I was like super baby. Didn't really know how to like film lines or like push right, and you can see it in like some of the lines. You're like, like I watch them now. I'm like, oh man, yeah. I was a late bloomer, and like, you know, you see 15-year-old kids now, and they're just like, oh my god.
And that was with Manzuri, right?
That was with Manzuri.
One of the best.
The best.
I love and I didn't Mike even know, so much.
I was 15. I didn't even know who Manzuri was, but I remember I was. Just the intro of that video, I was like, what? With the Sizzla song? I was just like, damn, this is, I can't believe I'm a part of this.
Damn.
I was, yeah, man. Shout out to Ed and Craig, you know, and Matt Cantor, and for really, like, you know, helping me out there and you know, those dudes really helped out a lot in the beginning of my of skating.
Right. So yeah. When did you come out? Like, what part of your career were you in when you came to SF? Were you already on Creation, or were you on Think, or
Creation was going before I moved to SF. I was already on Creation, and so I was on Satori first, and then like they started Creation after. Okay. And I was 18, I think, or 19, maybe 18 turning 19, somewhere in that realm. It was 2006.
Okay.
And when I like moved, when I was like, all right, deuces, like I'm out Miami, like I'm going to San Francisco and, you know, toss the coin, see what happens. And but I wasn't scared at all. It wasn't even like a, you know, oh God, what's gonna happen? I just knew that I loved San Francisco.
Huh. You
know, I loved Bombing Hills. I loved, you know, just the vibe there, the energy, the weed culture. I was like such a pothead back then. Like I smoked so much weed.
Uh-huh.
So like that was just like, you know, coming from Miami where it's like illegal and like you can get like an eighth for like, you know, $50, $60. You know, and then you go out to SF and it's just like
you got Lee Yankow rolling joints at dinner tables.
Dude, just like this is fun. This is easy. It was very, you know, there was no stress in it and there was no like I wasn't nervous about it. Everyone welcomed me, you know, everyone at FTC, it's just, yeah. And still, that energy, I was there last year for a few hours because I was visiting Kate's parents and I was there for like a day, a little day trip in the city. That energy is still there. Mm-hmm. Say what you want. Like, yeah, SF has changed, you know, but you know, those hills are the same. You walk into FTC, you walk into Deluxe, you know, you walk into Supreme, you walk into anything skating, like it's, everyone is welcoming. Mm-hmm. You know, the skate scene there is like, I feel like, you know, outside over here looking in, it's stronger than ever.
Mm.
You know, Marble Plazas in South City. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane, dude.
Yeah, no, I tripped. Like,
what a trip.
That park's sick, too. It has a little pump track. Like, you can go get your legs back after you're hurt or something. Like, there's just so many things.
People hit that up
a lot. Yeah. Mm,
I see Chico skating the Great Highway Park, you know, over in Ocean Beach. And
yeah. I'm just say I built that park.
Yeah.
Well, me and Cam Foosh.
Yeah, I tip my hats off to you guys, but Cam Foosh.
Yeah, like, have you seen the one at Civic Center?
Oh yeah. It's across the street from Supreme, dude. It's,
yeah,
that is.
I was out there filming those guys because we had the DIY series. So me and Brendan were out there filming all those things being made, and it was like, this is going to be on Market Street.
Right.
What the fuck? And a dude from the city coming out and bringing you a coffee and being like, hey, what do you think? What should we do? Like asking for your opinion. You're like, what is going on? What is going on? Like, this is insane. And
if I got to pay high taxes in California and that's what I get, so be it. I'll take it.
It's pretty tight.
That's so tight, dude. Like, that is, yeah. Trust, man. Like we're excited. Lots to do there.
What do you got the origin story for GX?
Yeah, it's now where it started. It obviously started in SF. but it was, the origin just kind of came organically, I feel like. And, you know, that might be more of a question for Garshell.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a group of homies, you know, and just filming like VX clips and, you know.
Is Garshell from Miami?
He's from a little up north, but yeah.
A suburb?
Yeah, close to Miami. Yeah,
so
like Palm
was
Beach,
it kind of just Miami homies at first, or was like Jake Johnson involved already, or like?
No. He came later. He came a little later, but yeah, it was like a Florida homies.
Okay,
like in the beginning, like Ben, Jan, you know, myself, Tons was in there, you know, Jada. Like, there's a good amount of people, you know, from Florida, just that made that whole thing. And then, you know, obviously people from San Francisco, or not from there, but that lived there at the time. And then we all kind of just like came together. And because Ryan, you know, was just filming everyone that was like hanging out with us, that was just on the session. And then would just like, you know, put these edits together and, you know, GX, G, some say, it stands for Garshell, maybe, or God, or, you know.
Genius.
I don't know. Or genius.
Or Greg. It could be.
No, I honestly, like, I don't, again, that could be a question. I think it's a question for Ryan. I'm like, the origins of the name, but the origins of, like, GX itself, I think it happened really organically.
Yeah,
and then when it started like taking off, really, I was like living in New York at the time.
Oh,
I split my time up in SF because I had moved to New York in 2009. So okay. From 2009 to 2014, right. I was in Brooklyn. And Ryan and all of those and everyone just stayed in the city, and they would, and then I would like. And I was on Think at the time, so I would, like, go back to SF, film, you know, with Justin Carlson, Think right. film, and Ryan whenever I'm back there. And then Ryan would come to New York, stay with me, and then we would, and then there was that whole, like, you know, back and forth thing going for a while.
What city's easier to get shit done in, New York or SF?
I mean, it depends, really. If you have a filmer in your pocket, both, you can get it done. And, you know, I had a great time in SF, as I did in New York. And at those times, I had relationships with filmers. Like, they were really, you know, we were really tight. So it all depends.
Filming a lot.
Just like all we had, our priorities were that. We didn't have any like real responsibilities. It was just, you know, we had to go to work or 9 to 5 when we did that. And it was, you know, part time at the time.
Right.
There was like some skating money coming in. It wasn't much. But at the time, too, your rent's like $500 a month.
Dude. Bring me back to that.
Yeah. You know, you had like, granted, you had like, you know, three roommates, but you had a room with a door, not a closet.
Yeah.
And you were paying, yeah. It was, I think I had a good time in both, man. You know, you're young and motivated and you have the resources. You could do it. Those are the best cities to me.
I think New York has more distraction. I think there's more to do there, and the partying is a little heavier there, like staying out later there. It's just, it ends up being like, ooh, I'm not the feeling thing. Like skating today. Oh, last night was heavy. Like, you
I kind of, at the time, again, I was young. I was motivated. I really loved the way everything looked in New York.
Yeah.
So, and there were a lot of options. There were plazas. There were bump to bars. There were ledge spots. There were go up to the Bronx. There were hills. There was a lot to do there.
Who did you skate with in New York?
At first, it was I hung out with Malva Kowalski. Zach Malva Kowalski introduced me to Rob Harris.
Mm. And
Rob Harris was living with Jake Johnson at the time.
Okay.
And that was like right at the beginning. So then I basically started skating with like Green Diamond Heads a lot, like Tompkins Square Park, like, you know, Quarter Snacks dudes. And there was a lot, just Tompkins. I just spent a lot of time at Tompkins.
Uh-huh.
And then met friends like just from spending time there. Mm-hmm. And then my buddy Joe Bressler, and he's amazing filmer, like dope dude. So I just really like clicked with him, and he was like just super down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was Pencil still there when you were there?
Pencil was still there. Harry Jumanji was still there.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I think I got like the tail end of like a bunch of like OGs, like, you know. Like, still there.
Okay, yeah. Sick.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at TalkingSchmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at TalkingSchmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout-out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.